I Hate the News is the weekly news bulletin from I Hate Politics podcast, a show about a human activity we love to hate. I'm Sunil Dasgupta. It's December 10th, 2024. A 26-year-old man who grew up in the Baltimore area, Luigi Nicholas Mangione, is arrested as a suspect in the killing of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. The race to replace Angela Alsobrooks as county executive in Prince George's County takes shape. Will the Montgomery County Council pass a new resolution to require sitting council presidents to give up the leadership role to be able to run for county executive? Current Montgomery County Executive Mark Elrich vetoes a bill to reduce impact taxes on new developments. The Montgomery County Board of Education, with three new members, authorizes a school boundary study that is likely to affect 80% of the county. Three brush fires in D.C. over the last weekend highlight the long-time drought in the region. And more. Stay with us.
I Hate Politics is brought to you by the Political Science Program at UMBC Shady Grove, where you'll learn a strong foundation in public policy, pre-law, and international affairs for an impactful career in a number of essential areas. Learn more at shadygrove.umbc.edu.
I Hate Politics is a podcast about our neighborhoods, workplaces, schools and streets, and our local governments as they function in diverse and democratic societies. This means our politics are messy, dirty, sometimes corrupt, with often self-serving politicians. But no matter how much we may hate politics, we are never exempt from it, even when we refuse to participate. In fact, the purpose of politics is to keep society moving precisely when we don't agree with each other, like now.
When I fall down, I will stay down.
Music for this episode comes from Sting Pain Index, a band for the moment spanning red, blue, and purple states, Maryland, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and Texas. Jeff Amos on guitar and lead vocals, Scotty Lowen on guitar and bass, Sam LeGrone on bass and synths, Ben Heath, guitar and synths, and Montgomery County's very own Planning Board Commissioner, James Hedrick, on the drums. Their new album is called Songs About Fracking and available on Bandcamp. Sting Pain Index. Luigi Nicholas Mangione, who appears to have grown up in the Baltimore Towson area, was arrested yesterday as the suspect in the United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson's murder. He was apprehended in Altoona, Pennsylvania. There has been enough karma posting about the killing of a healthcare insurance company CEO who is believed to have caused United Healthcare's denial of care rate to skyrocket. Should we forgive a new John Brown, whose own raid went from Maryland into Harper's Ferry in West Virginia? The system remains irreparably broken on many, many issues, not just healthcare. Addressing our alienation seems unlikely at this moment. Will our billionaire class simply hire more security and continue on as they were previously, concentrating wealth and power and dividing to rule? The tragedy of Luigi Nicholas Mangione may be larger than it may seem inside the law and order set in the coming weeks. But there is still other news. Maryland may have gotten its first black female senator, but Prince George's County also got a special election. Angela Alsobrooks' decision to resign before the end of the two-year mark on the remainder of her term as Prince George's County Executive now means that there will be a special election to fill the vacancy. If also Brooks had waited a few more days, the county charter prescribed an alternative path. The county council would have chosen one among themselves to complete the rest of the term. Practically, this would have laid the path for council member and county council chair Jolene Ivey to be the next county executive. And she would have gone into the 2026 election as an incumbent, boosting her chances of staying on. Instead, Alsobrooks' decision to resign just days before the deadline has opened the race to broader competition. And now, Aisha Braveboy, Prince George's County State's Attorney, who followed Alsobrooks in that position, and longtime but mostly retired county leader Russian Baker appeared to be getting ready to run as well. As of now, the marquee face-off is likely between Council Chair Jolene Ivey and State's Attorney Aisha Braveboy. Ivey just won election this November to the at-large seat on the council, which was vacated by Mel Franklin, who is facing federal charges for stealing campaign funds. Ivey's election bypassed the two-term limit on council members in Prince George. She still had 2 years left in her District 5 tenure, but she was going to be term limited after that. Ivey was elected council chair in 2023 and remains in that position as other contenders, Eric Olson and Walla Blagay, failed to get the required 6 votes to become council chair. The Ivies are a political dynasty in Prince George's County now. Jolene Ivey is married to Congressman Glenn Ivey from Maryland's 4th Congressional District, which covers Prince George's County. And their son, Julian Ivey, is a state delegate. Calvin Hawkins, the other county council member running for county executive, was not nominated to be council chair, which likely speaks to the limitations of his popularity. He is now in his second term as an at-large member. He filed paperwork to run for county executive in July 2024 when it was still unclear if Alsobrooks would prevail over former Governor Larry Hogan in the general elections. Russian Baker, who has served as Prince George's County Executive between 2010 and 2018, is coming back after a 2-year break from active politics. He had lost his wife to Alzheimer's in 2021 and then ran what ended up being an unenthusiastic campaign in the gubernatorial primary in 2022 against Westmore and other contenders. State's Attorney Aisha Braveboy is likely the frontrunner at this point. She has particular advantages as a result of being from the southern part of the county in the D.C. suburbs, as opposed to Ivy, who has her roots in the northern part of the county, but where population is also thinner than in the south. Braveboy has won 2 back-to-back countywide elections and has the support of progressive groups whose politics dominate the Washington, D.C. region. If Baker and Ivy split the vote among moderates, Braveboy could very well squeak through. The Prince George's County Council is yet to determine a date for the county executive special elections. In Montgomery County, the council, expecting several of its members to run for county executive in 2026, now has a resolution up for discussion that will require a county council president to vacate presidency if they decide to run for any other office except their own re-election. Here is newly elected council president Kate Stewart with some background.
Hi, Sunil. Soon after the passage of Question A, council members were concerned with the possibility of colleagues running for county executive. For many years, there has been a collegial agreement not to have a council president run for something other than their own re-election. The resolution proposed would put that agreement into our formal rules. Personally, I am committed to the well-being of this body and have no plans other than to manage the work of the council this year on behalf of our residents. We are in a critical moment with the change of the federal administration that could create difficult situations for our federal workforce, our immigrant populations, women, and our LGBTQIA residents. My priority will be to our residents, the council, and the work ahead.
Question A, Stuart is talking about is the recent referendum, county voters approved to limit the county executive to two terms, which means that the current county executive, Mark Elrich, is not able to run for a third term in 2026. Stuart's tenure as council president will end in December 2025, when the newly elected vice president, Will Joando, is expected to assume presidency of the council. Joando is also expected to announce his candidacy for county executive in 2026. The council president has agenda-setting powers, determines membership of committees, and can potentially use the position to step into higher office. Joando beat out council members Don Lutke and Natalie Fanny Gonzalez for the council vice presidency, and Lutke and Fanny Gonzalez are the primary sponsors of the bill to restrain the council president's maneuverability. While the council has followed the informal rule that its president remain a neutral party, in 2021, when Tom Hucker was council president, he threw his hat in to be county executive to the consternation of his colleagues. The actual elections were held in 2022 when he was not actually council president. Councilmember Andrew Friedson, the recently outgoing president of the council, appears to be the front runner at the moment for the county executive position. Councilmember Evan Glass has telescoped his intention to run as well. There is clearly concern among some council members themselves that Will Joando will run for county executive while being council president. Rich Maddaleno, the former state senator and now county executive Mark Elrich's chief administrative officer, is also believed to be a contender. When her year as council president ends in December 2025, Kate Stewart herself could decide to run for county executive. She is the only one on the council with elected executive experience as a former mayor of Tacoma Park. What to do about taxes is a forever government question. County Executive Mark Elrich recently vetoed a bill to reduce impact taxes on new development in certain areas where the county wanted to have new housing built. There is a big shortage of housing units in the county, and home prices are at an all-time high. While President-elect Trump's threat to denude the federal bureaucracy is ominous for Washington, D.C.'s regional economy, property valuations and tax burdens are fixed on a three-year basis, which means that any downturn in county revenue will happen just as slowly as the revenue uptick happened a few years ago. Rejecting the county council move, Elrich pointed out that impact taxes were down from a high of $60 million in 2014 to $15 million in 2024. The reduction in impact taxes means not just lowered revenue, but also that there are no new developments coming online to pay those fees. Elrich wants to raise property taxes in the county to make up the difference and has proposed special taxing districts where this would be possible. A new law sponsored by Councilmember Evan Glass has sought to push back the moment when impact taxes are due. Currently, these taxes have to be paid within a period after the county grants building permits, but Glass's new bill would put this off until the building is ready for use, giving developers more time and reducing the need to front more money. It's really school budget time. MCPS operating budget is expected next week. Last week, the Montgomery County Board of Education not only swore in three new members, Rita Montoya, Natalie Zimmerman, and Laura Stewart, but also immediately authorized a $1.3 million school boundary study. The boundary study is prompted by the construction of two new high schools, Woodward, and Crown, which will pull students from neighboring school clusters, and that is expected to have a cascading impact on 80% of the county. Last weekend, D.C. saw three brush fires. Vito Maggiolo is the public information officer for D.C. Fire and EMS.
We've been in a drought for an extended period of time. We had a few days of gusty winds that tend to dry things out very quickly. In Rock Creek Park, we had two significant brush fires. We had another significant brush fire over by Fletcher's boathouse off of Canal Road along the Potomac River. Our fire investigators and representatives from United States Park Police are, you know, both involved in looking into what the causes might be. But with things as dry as they are, all it takes is an open flame or somebody who is smoking, who may throw some smoking material, a match, a cigarette, idly into the dry area, not realizing how quickly it could ignite a fire. That's one of the most common causes of those types of fires.
What was the damage?
In each case, we had a couple of acres of woods that were burned. There was no threat to any structures, no threat to people. So we were very fortunate in that case.
Even at Fletcher's boathouse?
Much smaller. The fire over by Fletcher's was about a half an acre. The difficulty there was it was along the shoreline in a hard-to-reach area. We actually used one of our fireboats, which came up the river and shot some water from the river onto where the fire was burning.
How did D.C. Fire and EMS respond?
In both the Rock Creek fire cases, we had a response of approximately a dozen units. That'd be about 60 to 70 personnel. Those fires were difficult to fight because they were in somewhat rugged, steep terrain, which required them to be very manpower-intensive and labor-intensive, having to drag hose lines a considerable distance in order to get water on the fire and set up a perimeter. In the second fire, the one that took place yesterday, Sunday, we did have one injured firefighter, but his injuries were not serious.
Now, you had some mutual aid from neighboring jurisdictions as well, I believe?
Yes, from Montgomery County. Yesterday, they sent a tanker truck, which carries a large amount of water, and they also sent a brush unit. Those are four-wheel drive units that can access a wooded area. We have one of our own, but in this case, we needed additional assistance. At the fire on Saturday in Rock Creek, we also requested several of their brush units.
DC fire trucks had to draw water from Rock Creek itself.
The Saturday fire, because it was a long beach drive, there are very few hydrants. So Rock Creek was right there, and one of our engine companies used a technique that we train in which they drafted. They put a suction line directly into the creek and drafted water from the creek. It's not something you would typically see in an urban area, but we're trained for it, and when we need to do it, we do it. And yesterday and Saturday was the case of that.
So in this long drought that we've had in the region, Maryland had a fire ban, an outdoor fire ban for much of several weeks. No such fire ban was instituted in the district. Do you all have a different approach to this?
Maryland, of course, is a much larger area and has much larger area of woodland, forests. We're primarily an urban city with some woodland, but we did not establish a fire ban per se, but I was constantly getting the message out to the community that they needed to use extreme caution with any open flame, not to discard smoking materials in anything other than the proper receptacles.
For there to be a fire ban in Rock Creek, the National Park Service would have to do that? Is that correct?
That is all National Park Service.
Vito Maggiolo, Public Information Officer for DC Fire and EMS, thank you.
You're very welcome, sir.
Remember, any cigarette or burning ember thrown into the brush can catch fire at this time. In Baltimore City, Councilmember Nick Mosby, in his last pronouncement as City Council President, called for a presidential pardon for his ex-wife, Marilyn Mosby, the former Baltimore City State's Attorney, who has been convicted of mortgage fraud in a case that riveted the city and the state.
Marilyn Mosby, my ex-wife, was selectively prosecuted, wrongfully prosecuted, politically prosecuted. And I call on my colleagues throughout the state, I call on anybody else throughout the state, to ask President Joe Biden for a pardon.
That's all for this episode. Be sure to check out our feature interview series that comes out Friday mornings. I Hate Politics is produced by me, Sunil Dasgupta, and assistant producer Adama Gay, with support from University of Maryland, Baltimore County. I direct UMBC's political science program at the universities at Shady Grove in Montgomery County, where, among other things, we explore and learn about politics, government, and society close to home. Music for this episode comes from Sting Pain Index, a band that straddles Maryland, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and Texas. Jeff Amos on guitar and lead vocals, Scotty Lowen on guitar and bass, Sam Legrone on bass and synth, Ben Heath on guitar and synth, and Montgomery County's own James Hedrick on the drums. Their new album is called Songs About Fracking and is now available on Bandcamp. If you want to share your music on the show or know someone else who might want to, please email us at producer@ihppod.org. See you next time.
A trophy left by a stray cat. Prick my finger on the sharp part and say the F word to and at myself and just throw it away. Evidence lacking any fingerprints. I'll be wearing my hair shirt. I'll be holding the time.